Looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change? Wishing you could keep the faith? Longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Everybody, welcome to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Barb, darling, producer Barb. Who is that? I know that's Madonna song, but who did that version?
That's Glee.
Is it really?
It's the cast of Glee.
Oh, see, that is a show I have not yet watched.
You need to.
I know, probably for a really good reason, because I would be obsessed.
You would be.
So, yeah, I think my daughter has the... It's out on DVD, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I think my kid's got that, so I'm going to have to borrow that from her, and then I'll be glued to the television. Maybe I'll have to do archived shows for a few weeks.
Totally. And you can go to Fox.com, too, and see the last five or so.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to do that. Okay. So, yeah, the music thing is just too much fun. And, you know, in that vein, I just have to put a cosmic shout out there to John Bon Jovi and the gang for penning that amazing tune that we play every week here as my theme song. I'm telling you, I hear that driving bass and I just can't help but get happy. So I hope everybody had a great week. It's too short, though, the weekend especially, and I cannot believe that we're back here again. We have a heavy-duty show today, in a good way. Accepting yourself, big old topic we're going to talk about all hour. If you've got a question for me, or if you have, you know, if you're dealing with issues of accepting yourself, if you've got some struggle with that or some questions about that, give me a call. Number's 877-230-3062. Again, the number's 877-230-3062. Would love to have you participate in the conversation. Want to say hey to my listeners on 106.9 HD3 in Seattle. And I also want to thank everybody that's on my Facebook fan page. I'm having such a great time in between shows, having little communiques with my fans. It's tons of fun. So if you would like to get in on that fun, you can find me on Facebook by going to my website, michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org. Click on the Facebook icon in the links box on the right side of any page, and it'll take you straight to Facebook, and you can get signed up. You can also go to the archives on my website as well, on the radio show page, and you can subscribe to this show, meaning have it sent to you every week from iTunes. And the way to do that is to go to the host page on contacttalkradio.com. Click on the iTunes icon and subscribe to the show. Today's show topic was listener-inspired, as was last week's. If you've got a topic you'd like me to cover, send me an email or get on that Facebook and send me a message there. I love, love, love having the inspiration from you guys. This is great fun for me to take your topics and expand on them. And I'll tell you something, today's show, I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning. And then again, this morning for several hours working on this one. Usually my process is over the course of the week, I am jotting down notes as the shows, you know, as I'm thinking about it. And then usually Sunday, I sit down and do the work. And I was on my computer all day yesterday. And I was just like, oh, my God, I still don't have enough information. So you're in for it, y'all. Big time. So we're going to do the Cosmic Critter right now.
I can walk with the animals, talk with the animals. Grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals.
All right, you're going to think I'm making this up again, but guess what? Guess what's shown up? A bird. Another bird. I'm telling you, I think we're going to hit every single bird in this book. The book being Animal Spirit Guides by Dr. Stephen D. Farmer, who has a show on this very station, 4 p.m. Thursdays, Earth Magic Radio. And the critter is Goose. And here's what Goose means. This is a time of good fortune, so be receptive to and appreciative of all the good things that come to you. Barbaloo, we were just talking about that just before the show. Call on your ancestors for their guidance and protection, and once you do so, you'll notice a significant increase in your spiritual awareness. That's a very cool message. Reread some of your favorite fairy tales and legends and see what new meanings you can get from them now as an adult. Write creative and imaginative stories, either about actual experiences you've had or those that are made up. And finally, even though it may not always appear to be so, you're very well protected. So those are wonderful messages from the Goose. So I'll be curious to see how Goose shows up for y'all this week. The Robin has been really present for me in the last week or so, and that's all about brand new beginnings. But the Robins have just been going nuts outside. I think spring's coming, although one wouldn't know that to see my yard. we had probably 7-8 inches of snow this weekend. Yeah, it was nuts. Absolutely nuts. So anyway, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to dive into this very powerful subject of accepting yourself. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Don't go away.
Your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense 4-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Got a question for Michelle? Give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
Hey everyone, this is Michelle Morgan, host of Living on a Prayer, Mondays at noon Pacific here on Contact Talk Radio. You've heard me talk over and over again about belief systems, how they determine and control everything we create in our lives. Well, if you're finally ready to break your old limiting patterns so you can have the life that you really want, consider CSI. I developed the CSI program to change you at the deepest levels by finding the foundation of your patterns and creating permanent change where it will count the most. With CSI, you no longer have to try and do things differently in your life. You'll be different, and everything else will follow. Same old, or new, true you. You decide. Go to michellemorgan.org to find out more about the CSI program. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Oh, Barb, of course you found a song that actually said the words accept yourself in it. Of course you did. Holy Christmas. You're listening to Living on a Prayer, everybody. This is Michelle Morgan, and I'm continuously blown away by my producer, Barb, the musical genius. So, yes, accepting yourself. Accepting yourself is a very complicated thing. And I know, all right, I know. I say that about a lot of what we talk about on this show. And that's because the quick fix, purple pill, magic bullet attitude in our culture has pretty much dumbed down everything into a marketing strategy. The quick sell is the only sell, and selling is the bottom line. Well, I prefer to focus on change, growth, healing, etc. So I want to talk today about how this very tricky subject of accepting one's self can actually be a magic bullet for change, growth, and healing. But we got to talk about all the components of it. So first of all, there is a crazy mixed message in our culture regarding this issue. On one side, we've got the love and accept yourself just as you are movement. And on the other, we have this massive emphasis on unreachable perfection coming from several angles. We've got standards of physical beauty. We have a very skewed media obsession with wealth and celebrity lifestyle. And, you know, there's even the new age ideal of spiritual enlightenment that plays into this. So there's a whole lot of reasons for the reasoning human to find fault with themselves. Modern therapy says you have to love yourself before you can love anyone else. And while that philosophy is 100% true, the societal presentation of that philosophy has engendered an idea that all you have to do is, quote unquote, decide that you love yourself and then you will. Well, if it was that easy, then we would all love ourselves, wouldn't we? The truth is, self-love is as complicated as the self. This is where belief systems, family legacies, and cultural programming have tremendous impact on our capacity for self-love. All right, so we're going to do a little quick review here about belief systems, etc. Belief systems are the laws that we live by. They're programmed ideas about cause and effect, about ourselves and the world around us, that are handed down through cultural and familial influences and rooted indelibly in the psyche and physiologically in the neuropathways of the brain between birth and 7 years of age. Okay. In addition, we come into any given lifetime with karmic or past life beliefs that are carried in a similar fashion in the psyche. And to complicate matters further, we are all made up of many selves, the sub-personalities of the human psyche. You've all heard me talk many times in past shows about the parts of the psyche, energetic and archetypal characters who basically populate our emotional and mental landscape, and whose job is to keep our belief systems operating at optimum capacity. Your parts are also programmed in your childhood, just like those belief systems. They're trained by family, community, culture, and they are employed by your psyche to uphold those belief systems. And unfortunately, while the parts ultimately have a positive intent, most are completely handicapped in their ability to accomplish that intent, having been trained by some emotional circumstance or family pattern that you experienced and survived early in life, but which pretty much no longer serves you. So we did a series of shows, actually, on belief system and parts, starting March 15th through April 5th of last year. Encourage you to go to the archives and take a listen to those, give you some more information about that piece of this. So the bottom line, it's impossible to love yourself if there is an aspect of you that you despise. All right, such as an ingrained belief that you're not good enough no matter what you do, or the part that raises up in you and completely justifies having one more drink or one more hit or one more donut, or the unshakable pattern that's based on your childhood role models that convinces you that abusive relationships are the only kind you'll ever have. To further complicate matters, self-love and acceptance are tied directly to the instinctual pack mentality. You've heard me talk about this many times. I must be loved and accepted by the pack or I will die. That's a hardwired instinctual response in the human psyche. Well, if you translate that to the self, it adds yet another dimension of life and death desperation to this self-acceptance issue. When there's something about you that you deem unlovable, it sets up an expectation in you that others are going to agree with that self-assessment and you'll be sent out on the ice floe to die.
And that, of course, will typically make you loathe that aspect of yourself even more because it could potentially be your undoing. And so what happens then is, you know, we either give up to the self-hatred, ultimately, or we attempt to counter it by desperately trying to be perfect. And we all know where that leads, don't we? I'm looking over at Barb when I say that because she and I share that perfectionism Sagittarian thing. And I've got it in spades because I also have the Virgo perfection nature. So, yeah. So, another modern ideal that sets us up for confusion and ultimately failure in this whole self-acceptance thing is the idea of unconditional love. And I am being very facetious about that. Bottom line, unconditional love, kids, is impossible for the human. Newsflash, ain't gonna happen. God loves unconditionally, but humans are not capable. And here's why. That's not a weakness in us. That's not a default of character. The conditions are how we define ourselves. If we didn't judge things within us and around us, we wouldn't know what works and what doesn't work. So you have to have conditions in order to know who the heck you are. That leads me to talk about judgment versus judgmental. Are your heads spinning yet? have we covered enough topics yet? Oh my gosh, hang in there. I'm just getting warmed up. I haven't even gotten to the meat of the subject yet. No, I'm only half joking. I realize there is a lot I'm throwing at you, but here's why. I am such a crazy person about not talking surface stuff here. It's not going to do you any good, those of you wonderful listeners, if I sit here and tell you, you know, well, it's just as easy as, you know, just look in the mirror every morning and tell yourself you're fabulous and you love yourself and that God loves you. Go do that. Oh, absolutely do that. I'm not suggesting not, but that's not the answer to the ultimate issue here. If any of you are struggling or even remotely hesitating to completely accept and love yourself, there are a lot of reasons for that. And, you know, it's my destiny, literally, to be the purveyor of information. So forgive me if I'm inundating your sweet little brain cells today, but I'm telling you, this stuff's important. So judgment versus judgmental. This one's a big one. People have tons of questions about this, and it's a little bit challenging to explain, but hopefully I've encapsulated it well enough to make it easy to digest. Judgment has an internal emotional focus. It's personal. Judgmental has an external mental focus. It's impersonal, i.e. mean-spirited usually, but it has an impersonal quality to it. Notice judgmental, okay, has a mental focus. No coincidence there. Let me give you an example to explain this. Let's say you see yourself, you're out on the street corner and you see somebody who's dressed in a particularly interesting outfit. Okay, here's what judgment says. Judgment says, wow, I would never be able to wear that. I would never be able to feel comfortable wearing that outfit out in public. Here's what judgmental says. Oh my God, does that person have any idea how heinous they look? Okay. There's a huge difference between those two responses. And I'm only being slightly smart alecky about it. It's crucial to understand that judgment is necessary. We have to have that. We have to be able to say what works for us. When we turn it into that impersonal, outward-focused cut, then you're in dangerous territory. So how do you take a look at that from a self perspective? Judging yourself and being judgmental of yourself are two very different things, but separated often by a microscopically thin line. So here's an example. Judgment says, I'm afraid of making a mistake or failing. Judgmental says, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough to do that. Okay. That it's a little confusing when I'm talking personal versus impersonal. But what I'm trying to emphasize here is that when we are in judgment, the necessary judgment, we're looking at it from that standpoint of what does it mean to me? What does this experience or this situation or this thing mean to me? How's it affecting me? That impersonal is how it's affecting you, but you don't want to look at that. So you're going to focus externally. You're going to project that emotion outwardly and turn it into a typically negative thing. Rarely, if ever, are you going to ever think that when somebody says to you, gosh, you look beautiful today, that they're being judgmental of you, okay? But if they say, you know, you might want to rethink that outfit, that's probably being judgmental. So, all right. We've talked about misconceptions, potential roadblocks to self-acceptance. I'm not kidding you. We haven't even gotten to the whole point of this issue today. But we have Sandy in Toronto on the line, and we're going to have a little chit-chat with her, and then we're going to take a break and come back and keep going. Sandy, are you there?
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, hon. How are you?
I'm good. So nice to speak with you.
It's nice to have you make it through. So what's going on, girl?
Well, I loved your theme today because that's a pretty big one for me.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to talk about was that I know I do have the limiting beliefs that I carry around, and right. I self-sabotage myself.
Yes.
And I was just really hoping for some guidance or advice on helping to let go of those or to change them, to truly change them.
You bet. To truly change limiting beliefs, you have to get help. You have to do counseling that is preferably NLP-based in nature. There's a few modalities out there that will actually work to change the programming in the brain. And again, I'm going to encourage you to go back and take a listen to those archived shows because I talk quite a bit about just exactly how belief systems are rooted in the neural pathways and what all that entails. But the bottom line is you can change some of your neural pathways. You know that, I'm sure you've heard this, Sandy, that saying that if you want to create a new habit, you have to do it for 21 days and then it'll be ingrained.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's an actual phenomenon. It takes 21 days of continuous, and we are talking uninterrupted continuous effort in order to create a new neural pathway to actually build that little channel between the neurons and the it has all this chemical component. There's a whole lot to it. It's very scientific and it's kind of long-winded. So, but the bottom line is you can actually create a new neural pathway. But here's the challenge with that. If you don't dismantle the old neural pathway, okay, and you just create a new one, if you've had the old one your entire life and then you create the new one in 21 days, what do you suppose eventually your brain's going to do?
It'll go back to your old way.
It has to, because that's what it's familiar with, right?
Right.
So that's the challenge. And sweetheart, let me tell you something. I really do wish, believe me, I wish that there was some quick fix. And the reason that I say that is because I have to work on this stuff just as much, if not more, than a lot of people, because I have a lot of belief systems that have been in my way over my life. And I am so dedicated to walking my talk and not being a wounded healer that I'm constantly working on this stuff. And I have moments where I just think, oh, for crying out loud, I wish there was, you know, some quick way that I could get beyond this thing.
Right.
Instead of going in and doing sessions on it. But here's the truth. The truth is nothing's worth anything without some effort. And it has to be in combination with a whole lot of things. So first and foremost, if you truly want to change your belief systems, you have to get help to do that. You can't do it yourself. It's impossible. All right. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a counselor that does this work. I'm not trying to be a salesperson. I became a counselor doing neuropathway change work because I found out how powerful it was when I did it myself with a practitioner.
Right.
So there's that piece, but then there's the God piece, right? And God has to be involved in all of it because God's going to ultimately guide you to the right practitioner. Okay, that's how that's going to work. But you have to have that spiritual foundation. You can't change your mind of your own accord because your mind is run by parts who are operating those neuropathways that support those old belief systems. It's a pretty complex system that's set up in the brain, and force of will alone won't change it. And I'm sure you've tried, haven't you?
Yes, I've actually done CBT for a while.
What's the CBT?
The cognitive behavior therapy.
Okay, okay.
And it was somewhat helpful, mm-hmm. but I'm still finding I think something else.
Yeah, you got to go deeper.
Yeah.
The cognitive behavioral therapy is great, but at the same time, it isn't going to address the old neuropathways.
Right.
It just doesn't go there. There has to be a specific modality that will go to the old neural pathways and do the dismantling there. So that's, you know, again, honey, I wish I could tell you there was three magic words you could say. Believe
that'd
be me,
nice, yeah.
Believe me, if I had that magic wand, I would tell everyone where to buy it. But but the bottom line is the it's work, you know,
yeah.
And personal growth work. Here's the cool thing about it. All right. So, you know, I'm talking about it like, wow, it's all this work and. Yeah, I wish there was an easier way. However, the satisfaction and the power of growing like that, of going deeper with yourself, of becoming your truer self, of stepping closer on a daily basis to God and to that divine story that God wrote about you, that is worth every ounce of effort and then some. And once you make the commitment to walk that path, there's no way you're going to be disappointed. And you're going to be amazed and delighted in ways you can't even imagine. So it's worth the risk. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's absolutely worth the effort. So I'm going to encourage you, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the show, to start out by asking God for absolute clarity on exactly what you need to do to heal these blocks.
Okay.
And then pray for the willingness to receive that clarity and pray for the courage and the passion to follow that clarity and take that divine right action. And if you do that, I'm telling you, girl, you can't lose.
Okay.
Okay. And you sound very, you sound like a very conscious woman. So that piece of it, you're 100 steps ahead of the game. You let God guide you on this one and you're going to be golden.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You bet, sweetheart. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to keep on going with accepting yourself. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. Come on back. Hey everyone, this is Michelle Morgan, host of Living on a Prayer, Mondays at noon Pacific here on Contact Talk Radio. You've heard me talk over and over again about belief systems, how they determine and control everything we create in our lives. Well, if you're finally ready to break your old limiting patterns so you can have the life that you really want, consider CSI. I developed the CSI program to change you at the deepest levels by finding the foundation of your patterns and creating permanent change where it will count the most. With CSI, you no longer have to try and do things differently in your life. You'll be different, and everything else will follow. Same old, or new, true you. You decide. Go to michellemorgan.org to find out more about the CSI program. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
we're back. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. We are talking about self-acceptance. So, before the break, we talked about a whole lot of things that get in the way of accepting yourself. But here's something else that you have to know, all right? If you're truly living and participating in your life, you are, in fact, never satisfied. You're happy. You're grateful. You're content. But you're always longing to go deeper, to learn and grow, to experience more. In other words, it's okay to not be okay with your current experience, to want something more or something different. It entirely depends on the motivation behind that desire. A lot of the focus of the movement for self-acceptance in our culture, again, is a very surfacey idea that, you know, you need to just be okay with everything and everything is happening perfectly exactly as it is and blah, 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 blah. And while that is true, there is an element of truth to that. That sets us all up for challenge when we recognize that we're longing for something more. All right. So how do you know the difference between that spiritual drive for expanded good? I've talked about the longing before. The longing is hardwired in each and every one of us. That longing is, in fact, our desire to connect deeply with something greater than ourselves, to where we can feel unlimited, even if for a moment. And that something is God. So I am not exaggerating when I tell you every single thing we long for is drawing us towards God. The new cell phone you want, I'm not exaggerating, has at its base the desire for something more, something better, something new, something bigger. At its foundation is a desire to connect with God, to connect with divinity, the divinity in you and the divinity of the God without, meaning external God. So how do you know the difference between a spiritual drive for expanded good and a reaction to those fear-based belief systems that we talked about at the beginning of the show? Well, here's how you tell. Longing for your true good is a feeling of discomfort or discontent with your current situation, but it's coupled with a feeling of excitement and a sense of motivation to move in a new, truer direction. And it has judgment in it. True judgment. You know, this situation doesn't work for me. This cell phone doesn't work for me. This job doesn't work for me. I'm not comfortable in this relationship. Whatever that is, that true judgment is part of the longing for your true good. Here's what reaction to a fear-based belief system is. It's an experience of discomfort or discontent, absolutely, but it's coupled with feelings of fear, lack, shame, guilt, self-loathing, etc. And if there's any motivation at all to move in a different direction, it's usually short-lived. Or the quote-unquote different direction that you're motivated to move in is actually just an old pattern or an old behavior that will do nothing but add to your unhappiness. And you better believe there's judgmental all over the place in that experience. That's where you start in with the negative self-talk, which just drives you deeper into the old stuff. Okay. So acceptance is not settling. I really want to be clear about that because I know there's a lot of people out there like, okay, how do I do this? I feel like I should accept myself as I am because I'm beating myself up all the time, but then the thought of accepting what you're not happy with, what's that about? Well, I'll tell you what, that ain't about God. God is not up there going, I really just want you to be happy being miserable. That's a choice that we make as human beings. Okay. And I really hope, I'm going to trust actually, that I am being clear enough here that I am not suggesting that you shouldn't be happy and grateful and feel good about what you have. You absolutely have to. That's part of the process. But it's more than okay to never be satisfied. In fact, that's the divine nature, is always about expansion. So here's what true acceptance looks and feels like.
true acceptance is an experience of honoring things as they currently are. That's that being happy about it, being grateful, etc. Honoring things as they currently are. Recognizing the gifts of growth and learning inherent in those things. And then having the willingness to bless and release those very good things so that whatever is not working can be healed. And then you move forward into something even better. Okay? Catherine Ponder, bless her heart, amazing woman, talks in many of her books about we need to be able to let go of the good. When you truly release something from a spiritual perspective, you're actually letting go of everything. You're untangling yourself from even good things so that something even better can come in, or that good can actually expand. I've quoted this, I don't know how many times in shows, but I'm going to give it to you again because it's such a great description of this. I'm not going to be able to remember his name right off the top of my head, but anyway, metaphysician Emmett Wilson, thank you, God, said, we must be willing to let angels go, that archangels may come into our lives. Meaning you have to be willing to let go of the good for something even greater. And God always upgrades. Always, but you got to let him know you're open. So you got to be willing to move forward. So here's how to do that. We've talked about that three-step process so many times. Purification, illumination, and union with God. That three-step process, man, you can apply that to pretty much anything. It's amazing. And here's how that process works specifically in the realm of self-acceptance. Purification requires forgiveness. You have to forgive who? Yourself. Oh man, don't you hate it when you have to do that? Michelle, isn't there something else I can do? No, you have to forgive yourself and others, but especially self. When you're in that judgmental nature about others, it's really a spillover of being judgmental of yourself. Okay, when it gets that toxic in you, it has to go somewhere and you're going to spew it out into the world. That's how it works. Okay, we're triggered by things in others that mirror unwanted aspects of ourselves always. And you're going to see yourself bigger than life, like a funhouse mirror, in the people that you're closest to. That's always a lot of fun. So, you know, close relationships will show you what your belief systems are, what your legacies are, etc., which the gift and the curse. The curse is obvious. It can make it really uncomfortable. The gift is, wow, you don't have to go searching for this stuff. It's right there in your face. True forgiveness is an experience of release. Remember that. It's about being able to say what happened happened and I am choosing to no longer carry the experience. True forgiveness also requires full acknowledgement of the pain, permission to feel it, and then a willingness to heal and release that pain. We did shows specifically on forgiveness August 16th and 23rd last year. Those are really powerful to listen to. When you're forgiving yourself, how does that work? Well, you have to just say, you know what? I did the best I could. I did what I did because of my belief systems, etc. And yeah, it hurts. And yeah, I hate where I'm at right now. And I don't like what I manifested. And so God, give me clarity on what I need to do to heal this and move forward. That leads us to step two, illumination, receiving guidance from God. Compassion for self is essential here. Compassion, true compassion, gives you objectivity. And with objectivity, you can then more clearly hear God's guidance. What's true compassion? True compassion is recognizing that you are acting out of familiar patterns and fears and not expecting yourself to be able to do anything other than that until you do the work to heal the pattern, period. And that holds true for, you know, having compassion for others, recognizing they're doing the best they can do based on their patterns and their beliefs and not expecting them to do anything different. Then you have to have a willingness to heal, to seek and do the work to heal. All right. I cannot emphasize that more. But I will stop emphasizing it in this moment. Step three, union with God and his good. Accepting and claiming the good in the current situation. Absolutely essential if you're going to move on, okay? You have to honor yourself in the experience. You have to choose to see the good in yourself treat yourself with kindness and care. And you know what? If you can't manage to do that, then you know that there are belief systems that need healing. There was an article years ago about called the Superwoman Syndrome. Can't remember the author. It was an amazing article. The quote from it that I find just really apropos here was, she said at one point, "If I treated my children like I treated myself, I would be in jail for child abuse." Because she put herself so far on the back burner and burned herself out, basically. So you have to honor yourself. And you have to cultivate your relationship with God. If you can't honor yourself, then begin by honoring God expressing through you. He chose you to walk in the world for him. Be honored by that. I'm telling you, wow, whenever I get really tangled up in something, to the best of my ability, I remember that. To the best of my ability, I bring it back to the fact that God chose me. You know, he asked me to do this for him. In all of my craziness, he asked me to do this for him. And that's pretty amazing. It's humbling, but it's also really energizing, you know? It's also really energizing. So accept that you're a child of God, and as such, all good things are not only possible, they are your birthright. And then you have to have a willingness for things to be different or for them to be better. You have to have a willingness to imagine that you can have it all, the kingdom of heaven here on earth, as they say in the Bible. We've talked about this before, too. There's a lot of responsibility when your dreams come true, right? There's no more excuses if your dreams have come true. So that's your process. Purification by forgiveness, illumination, receiving guidance from God and following through on that, having compassion for yourself, and union with God and his good, accepting and claiming the good in the current situation. There is golden good in this experience, and I claim it now. And then be willing to open up and move forward. So I want to take a real example. I had a listener pose a question that actually inspired this show. And I want to address it kind of specifically to give you an even, hopefully, more clear illustration of what I've been talking about this entire show. So here was the question. I don't know how to accept the me that I am now, mostly physically, compared to the me that I was in high school or college. I was thinner. How do I let go of the past reality and live in today's reality? So here's my answer. First, you want to get clear. Do you really want to stay at your current weight and be authentically happy with it? Or are you, in fact, longing to move into a healthier, happier direction overall in your life? That's the first step. And if you don't have the clarity, then you ask God to help you get the clarity, right? You pray for clarity. Then you want to ask yourself, is your weight preventing you from expressing your true self in the world? All right. I'm going to do an entire show, by the way, on weight, because it is a very, very complicated issue. There I go again. But it is. But you got to ask yourself, is your weight preventing you from expressing your true self in the world? Imagine yourself in your ideal life. Remember that divine plan thing? Health, wealth, happiness, and perfect self-expression. Does your current physical state fit that image? And it's okay if it doesn't. It's okay. Don't judge it. Just honor it. What's not working in your present reality is a doorway to manifesting your ideal reality. That's the blessing. That's the treasure in the darkness, you guys. And so another little, you know, quirk or piece to this weight thing, which is the focus of this specific question of acceptance. For the feminine, feeling good about ourselves definitely includes that physical component. And I'll tell you what, that's become so completely twisted in our culture due to reverse polarity. Seeking the expression of true feminine through beauty and sensuality, etc., is a power of the feminine aspect of polarity. But that power is actually being channeled through the shadow nature in our culture because we're so reversed. And it's turned into these impossible to achieve, even dangerous ideals of physical beauty. So I'm certainly not suggesting that you should want to look like a supermodel unless you have the genetic structure of a supermodel, then you can aspire to that. But understanding and honoring the polarity of this issue is crucial. Feminism would argue that a focus on physical appearance is demeaning and a societal trap to disempower women. It's quite the opposite. If it's honored as part of a true feminine expression, how you feel about the way you look is a great barometer of your personal power. But it has to be clean. It can't be tangled up with all those negative belief systems that we talked about earlier. Then there's also the health component. You know, being at a healthy weight is a given necessity. So you got to truly accept your current reality and your current self by honoring the present state for what it is. It's an opportunity to learn, to grow and become the person you want to be. And the unhappiness you feel is pointing to what needs to be healed in you. That's the gift. And you can honor and respect and accept the gift of the old you, the thinner you. What did you like about that? How you felt, how you looked, the level of energy you had, how the world responded to you. Those are great things. Those are not things to be thrown away. Those are things to be honored and cultivated in an even cleaner way. If you were thinner in high school and college out of total fear, maybe you were anorexic or maybe you were doing it because you felt judged or what have you, then it's not clean. But some of the results were really positive and honest. So own those. Work with those. Then you get the help you need to heal the belief systems that are creating that current state. Weight issues are always a product of varied emotional and psychological components. And as you begin the process of healing the corresponding beliefs, you're going to find that the weight's just an expression. It's an expression of another belief that's affecting how you see yourself in every single area of your life. And the bottom line is when you heal that, everything gets better. In fact, you'll probably find that in healing the underlying belief systems, the excess weight comes off quite easily. Or you might find that you truly are happy with yourself at your current weight, providing it's not a health issue. And then you can just go from there. God has to be involved. He has to be. You have to pray about this stuff. You have to cultivate your relationship with God by asking for his help in every aspect of the healing and the accepting process. You ask for absolute clarity about the issues that are creating your discontent. Pray for the willingness to receive the clarity and the courage to take right action to heal whatever needs healing. And then you want to cultivate your ability to imagine and accept the divine plan of your life, health, wealth, happiness, perfect self-expression, and accept it from your true core. That's the formula. We got Anna from Virginia on the line. Anna, are you there?
Hi, how are you, Michelle?
I'm good, hon. How are you?
Good. I've actually called you a few weeks ago. I had said that I was on this spiritual healing journey.
Yes.
And, I mean, you pretty much said quite a bit, pretty heavy topic.
Yes.
And I think a lot of our self-esteem is based on the events that have happened in our life.
Absolutely.
And I used to get upset with God for everything. That was my problem. But I just realized that lately more than anything. And that's years and years and years of and I'm sure that people can attest to this, just putting blame on God for everything that has happened in your life and why has it happened to me and not someone else. And
you bet.
How much more can you give me? And I can't take any more. And
right.
I think, and then just, like you said, the relationship with God is so important. And it's interesting because I have had friends that have divorced and remarried. And I've had a different situation and have been single for quite a long time and have had relationships, all of which, pretty much all of which, were not good because your self-esteem isn't good.
Right.
So, and I really, truly think now that even though I had times to be in situations, to be in relationships, I think God was almost protecting me. I don't know if you could feel that.
Oh, you
almost,
bet.
You know, telling me, you know, it may take a long time, but this person's not for you. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
And it's not going to happen until you see the true picture. Now, it's almost like, yes, other people have remarried through divorces and deaths and so forth,
mm-hmm.
but I'm surprised that I didn't do that.
Right.
Or maybe I had that underlying gut feeling, or he knows all. He knows
right.
our and, next move.
And here's the interesting thing, though. God can only do for us what he can do through us, and we set up the parameters of what he ends up doing. So he does protect us, but he also protects us only to the extent that we allow it. And so that's that, you know, dynamic of we can create a lifetime of crisis, a lifetime of trauma, survive it, absolutely. But we just continue to repeat those patterns. And I guarantee you that, you know, God's up there going, oh, come on, ask me for something better than this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Heal what needs to be healed in your beliefs so that I can work through you in a cleaner fashion. So, and, you know, I'm sure you know that Mother Teresa quote that where she said, I know that God only gives us what we can handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. Because that weight can feel excruciating.
Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable.
Absolutely. You bet.
And that's almost like, it's almost like two weights, being maybe overweight as well as having the weight on of your shoulders. Everything on your shoulders
and
as well.
Yeah, and that will create actual physical weight issues, will come from bearing a burden. The body will say, oh, you have to carry that? Okay, I'll expand for you. It's like being pregnant, you know? My feet got bigger and,
yeah,
you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
All of that great stuff. The body's pretty amazing, actually, how it will translate, you know, our emotional and our spiritual state. So yeah, it's a powerful, powerful subject. Well, it's interesting, just even tapping in briefly psychically for you, it feels to me like last couple of weeks things have lightened up a little bit. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, your energy.
I haven't cried as much.
Good girl. Well, you know.
And I
that's a good thing, and yet the tears are really important too. So.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
So,
and I do get up every morning and acknowledge God.
Good.
I didn't do that before. And,
yeah,
and it's interesting how you can think that other people, you can judge other people, and yet you're judging yourself and not realizing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why I say judgment of others is just a spillover of what we're saying inside our own heads. So. Yep. So I'm telling you, hang in there because it's going to lighten up even more. You keep doing what you're doing. And the guides, your spirit guides are saying June's a big month for you. There's going to be a shift of pretty important energy about midway through the month. So and it feels personal in nature. So I'm just wanting you to keep doing exactly what you're doing so that you can receive that opportunity that comes in, because you know, you got to be able to receive it. So,
well, I just want you to know, just listening to your archives, you just always have it on, and you know, you're just always on the right topic.
Thank you.
I think you're great. And I've just heard about you the last couple of weeks, so
well, cool.
I guess I was supposed to. So, better late than never.
I'm telling you, divine timing, darling.
That's right. That's right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Important, powerful stuff. Make God the center of everything, and you can't go wrong, y'all. So really want to thank everyone for their support of this show. I'm telling you, if you want to help keep us on the air, made it easy, go to the radio show page at michellemorgan.org, click the donate button, and it'll take you to PayPal. You can contribute any amount there, and I can't even begin to thank you, everybody that's been doing that. It's helping me pay for the airtime. It's just been awesome. And if you liked today's show and want to email it to people you know who might like it too, you can access the archives either on contacttalkradio.com or at my radio show page, michellemorgan.org. And if you love the music, and who doesn't? And yes, Barb, after last week, of course, I had to spend more money on iTunes. I will have the list of tunage from today on my Facebook fan page in the next couple days. And then you can go to iTunes and download stuff. Next week, we're talking boundaries, another listener-inspired show, which, you know what, I'm telling you, today's show is a perfect segue into the subject of boundaries. Love how that works. So be sure to tune in next week, 12 noon Pacific, on contacttalkradio.com or 106.9 HD3 in Seattle. Barb, thank you so much, darling. Magic as always. Hope everybody has a great week. This is Michelle Morgan. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.